Hello, welcome to another Tech Plus. As always, it's Ian with you and also Kane. Hello, Kane.
Hey, good to be back.
Yes, how are you, man?
Yeah, weeks are just so fast. I swear we were just here.
Weren't you here yesterday?
I think so.
Oh, wait, you were here yesterday. You brought me a mouse.
Oh, yes, your mouse died.
Isn't it terrible when your computer mouse just decides to die at 5 o'clock in the afternoon when all the shops are closing?
And then you need surgical precision to operate the mouse pad.
Yeah. Yeah, that trackpad thing is just terrible. I'm sure a lot of laptop people will agree with me. Unless you have a fancy Apple, I'm sure that your trackpad's much better.
Funny you mention that. I mean, Apple's trackpad's best. They are just so easy to use.
Don't need a mouse.
Good gestures. It works well. But a close competitor is actually Dell.
Dell, okay.
Dell has some very intelligent mouse pads, and the Dell XPS series, which I would buy 1,000 times over before any other laptop outside of something like an Apple, right, because they do personal laptops the best outside of gaming.
Mm.
But those new Dell XPSs just came out, and they're a real good, reliable laptop, I must say.
Nice. I like Dell. So if you can't afford an Apple, get a Dell, right? So
yeah, that's what you're saying. Exactly. You got it.
But it's just a weird situation. I mean, not all of us have a spare mouse. That's why you call a buddy and ask them for a mouse, and then he brings you this super cool, light-changing gamer's mouse.
It
puts up a light show at night.
If we have a joke. We call it Arguba. It doesn't light up with Arguba, which is just RGB.
It looks like... it's stunning, hey?
So... You know what else is actually quite interesting? South African ISPs. You still don't have fiber, do you?
No.
You wish for it. Would you do it if you had the opportunity?
Absolutely, yeah. There seems to be a delay. There's a kinkle in the cable.
That's one way to put it. But we've got some, you know, My Broadband, they do all these different surveys and things like that, and then they report on the results. And they recently rated the top ISPs in South Africa. So if you're considering, well, you know, what ISP do I get? What internet service provider do I use? You know, what is a good price? What are customers happy with? Well, here's the result. So the top five all-time ISPs were, from bottom to top, in terms of top five, Telkom at the bottom of the log, with 60% customer satisfaction, followed by Web Africa at 68%, MWeb at 70%, Access at 71%, and AfriHost at 73%. But that's just for, you know, top internet service providers. You get mobile internet, which is LTE, and you get fiber internet, which is fixed line, which also includes ADSL. So the top five mobile ISPs, mobile internet service providers from bottom to top, are Cell C with 56% satisfaction, Rain with 58%, Telkom with 60%, Vodacom with 62%, and MTN at the top of the log with 75%.
Yeah.
I didn't expect MTN to be at the top.
No, not at all, especially with the load shedding.
Yeah, but
their towers are suffering.
But we spoke about it, you know, a week or so ago. They were recently in chats with Telkom to do a big deal.
Mm.
So I think they're very bullish on getting some more market share. I mean, I didn't know MTN had such good customer satisfaction. They were just under the radar for me.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
Top fiber ISPs. Cool Ideas. Metro Fiber Networks, with an X. And Home Connect. Home Connect had the worst with 64%, and Cool Ideas had the best with 78%. I don't know any of those in Nisner.
Cool Ideas, no. I've actually never heard of it.
But then we have the top five small ISPs, which are a category of their own. You'll notice in these small towns there's micro ISP providers, like micro fiber providers.
Yeah.
And these guys, at the last on the list, with 74% customer satisfaction, is RSA Web. One you can actually use in Nisner, which is great. They're at the, you know, they're in the top five. Amobia at 84% customer satisfaction. Supersonic at 84%. CyberSmart at 98% customer satisfaction.
That's very good.
And Atomic Access at 99% customer satisfaction.
Is that number one?
Number one.
Do you know who should be number one?
Who?
TCS.
Oh, yes.
If it is local, it should be TCS, because, man, those guys are good, eh? They've got a WhatsApp line. You can contact them anytime. They'll sort you out. at night even.
Isn't it interesting that the smaller ISPs, the smaller businesses, have a greater customer satisfaction?
It's more of a personal and a direct thing, and that works very well.
And the ISP has time to cater to everyone.
Yeah, even though they're actually expanding quite a lot, they're in almost all the towns now. But I think they still have that personal touch, that, you know, that personal service.
Definitely.
Which is, that's what you want as a customer.
Should we talk about good old DSTV?
Yes. What's happening? Are they closing down?
No. MultiChoice, which is the DSTV owner, announced a massive streaming video deal. So this is quite interesting. MultiChoice has announced an agreement with Comcast's NBC Universal and Sky that will see South Africa's broadcasting giant sell a 30% stake in Showmax. So it's actually a deal between MultiChoice's Showmax. It just so happens that MultiChoice also owns DSTV.
Yeah.
So Peacock is NBC Universal's video streaming service. Mm. So if you stream any NBC Universal content, it's through Peacock. And MultiChoice explained that it has incorporated Earth UK Holdings Limited, a new UK registered company that will trade as Showmax. And what it will see is the DSTV owner will contribute its existing Showmax business for a 70% equity stake in EarthCo, and MultiChoice will also provide ongoing business support through its local market expertise, local content production capabilities, its portfolio of general entertainment and sports rights licenses, and its back office support functions. This is what I think is really cool about this. Showmax is South African.
Yeah.
Right? NBC Universal is international.
Yeah.
To see an international giant pair up with the South African or an African streaming service is quite exciting.
Yeah, and we're getting the advantage from it.
We are. I want to...
Getting better content.
Have you ever watched HBO?
Yeah.
In South Africa?
Well, no.
As a stream, as a paying stream? No, I've never been able to watch it.
Yeah. So, I know what they offer. They've got an amazing lineup.
So there's actually a gap in the market for people who want to watch HBO
Thank
content.
Goodness.
And that's going to be happening through Showmax, which is also part of a greater African enterprise as well.
This could be DSTV's saving grace.
It really could.
Because that's the parent company, MultiChoice. So who knows? Maybe this deal kind of saved DSTV.
Well, this is where it gets interesting. Remember when Disney Plus came in?
Yeah.
And we spoke about the streaming difficulties. You would have buffering streams.
And no one to contact for customer service.
If you push spacebar while watching something on a laptop on Disney Plus, you couldn't pause it.
I didn't even check, really.
Yeah, there was just so many missing pieces. And that's because building the technology to allow parallel video streaming is no easy feat.
Yeah.
So when Showmax is pairing up with NBC's Universal, they're using their Peacock technology.
Oh, that's going to be fantastic.
So they're actually loading in internationally recognized technology into the Showmax brand to support the streaming as Showmax the brand. So it's
Look
a technology
out,
upgrade.
Yeah. It takes a while upgrade. To get to Netflix's level, eh?
Yes.
So that's why Disney Plus is, they're still building up to that.
Definitely.
Remember last time you also said you think that there could be a patent or something on the way that it's built. So Disney Plus can't just use any of those features.
Yeah, you can't just have, you know, the Netflix's show me something. I just feel like they wouldn't be able to.
Something similar maybe.
Have you used that feature much after we spoke about it? The show me something on Netflix where you can ask it to just show you a random show.
Once or twice when I was really desperate. And and it just, I don't know, it kind of starts mid-season in an unknown show. And then I'm lost.
No,
it didn't work for me.
So,
how did it work for you?
I haven't used it enough to really say anything because it's not really a good feature.
Nah.
So some features you want to steal and others, you know.
Yeah, it's when you're lazy and desperate.
Now, you've used Airbnb, right?
Once.
But you used it.
Yeah, but I've used another one which is South African called Lekker Slaap.
Okay.
Very similar.
Good
very
experience?
Very good.
Really?
Very good. Yeah.
Another good South African business to keep an eye on. Mm. So Airbnb has started blocking people who are quote-unquote closely associated with banned users. So the accommodation booking platform Airbnb is blocking people who it believes are closely associated with other banned users. Vice's Motherboard, which is a publication, confirmed the policy with Airbnb after investigating the recent case of Airbnb user Amanda And her surname was obviously not disclosed. So she received an email from an Airbnb team member informing her that she had been removed from the platform because her account was closely associated with someone who was not allowed to use Airbnb.
How would they determine that?
This is where it gets interesting, right? So the team member said that this was done for the safety of the Airbnb community.
Mm.
She was allowed to appeal the ban, but after 2 days, the company said it completed its review and decided to uphold the ban after careful consideration. It added that it could not offer any additional support on her case any longer. It turned out the ban was triggered when Amanda used her boyfriend's credit card to book accommodation on the platform.
Oh.
Her boyfriend had a criminal record for an unspecified white-collar crime, but Amanda didn't share an address or bank account with him or anything. So because she used a credit card of someone who had an existing criminal record for a white-collar crime, now she was banned from Airbnb, just completely removed and unable to regain access.
Whoops.
And they said that the state of her account is directly dependent on the state of his account. So yep. Once they formulate a link between one person and the other person, if one of you get banned, it's not looking good.
Now you're done.
Yeah. Matt, that's pretty good, because if you're a homeowner renting out your house, you kind of don't want those people in your house.
You've used Airbnb before.
I have. Quite a lot, and I've got nothing bad to say about it, and I didn't know that this was such a issue that it needed to be really focused on with a policy like that, but I could understand, you know, if you ascertained a criminal record because you robbed an Airbnb, then...
Weren't you robbed at an Airbnb?
I was, actually, not funny enough, you reminded me. I actually was.
That was an Airbnb.
But not by the owner, and not, like, by strangers, you know?
Yeah.
You just were obviously watching the house. But it's good to see these kind of policies, and it'll be interesting to see how it progresses.
And now it's time for some music.
Time for some music. What are we listening to?
We're listening to Lewis Capaldi. This guy, have you seen him on stage? He's so funny.
I have not.
He's so funny. And he's got, I think he's got Tourette's. So the audience have come to know him as somebody with Tourette's. And sometimes he, you know, then you have those little things that you do while you're performing, and, you know, they just love him for it. So
that's
he
so
stops,
cool.
Then he stops performing because he just has to do that, you know, and then the crowd just carries on and sings the song for him.
I
think
it.
That was
so cool.
Brilliant, eh?
That's so
accepting
cool.
Him for who he is, and amazing personality, really funny guy. Check him out online, Lewis Capaldi. And he's got an amazing voice. Here he is with Forget Me. And Kane, what are we coming back with? Sorry, I forgot to ask.
When we come back from the break, we're going to take a second just to review what happened at Elon Musk's master plan reveal.
Ooh, I was waiting for some Elon news there.
Yes. And then that's going to be really good.
Okay, cool. Here's Lewis.
Days aching, nights are long, 2 years and still you're not gone. Guess I'm still holding on. Drag my name through the dirt. Somehow it doesn't hurt though. Guess you're still holding on. You told your friends you want me dead and said that I did everything wrong. And you're not wrong. Well, I'll take all the vitriol, but not the thought of you moving on. I'd rather hear how much you regret me and pray to God that you never met me than forget me. Oh, I hate to know I made you cry, but love to know I crossed your mind, babe. Oh, even after all, it still wrecked me to find out you know how to forget. Aching nights are grey. My heart is still your place, babe. Guess I still feel the same. No, you can't stand my face. Some scars you can't erase, babe. Guess you still feel the same. Well, I'll take all the vitriol, but not the thought of you moving on. To find out you know how to forget me. I'd rather hear how much you regret me and pray to God that and pray to God that you never met me, then forget me. Oh, I hate to know I made you cry, but love to know I crossed your mind, babe. Oh, even after all, it still wrecked me to find out you know how to forget me, even after all this time.
Lewis Capaldi and Forget Me. Welcome back to Tech Plus. And also welcome to our very regular listener, Susan. She's currently driving.
Hey!
But she's still listening to the show. Hopefully we won't make her laugh and then she crashes.
No. No jokes from this point onwards.
But listen, sorry, we mentioned Vodacom and MTN before the break. And I forgot to mention that both of them, from the 1st of April, increasing their rates, on contracts.
Really, eh?
Yeah, not by much, but... they say that it's needed, especially with all their expenses, to keep their base stations running and dealing with vandalism, people stealing the batteries that's supposed to keep the towers on during load shedding, all that kind of stuff. They need to somehow make up that money.
Well, they need... I was telling someone just the other day, I was like, you know, it's been a long time since we've picked the network providers we choose because of the coverage they have.
Yeah.
I remember when I was much younger and that was something. Everyone was like, you know, you got to do Vodacom because you're going to be in certain places. You're going to have... Definitely, you're going to have signal. And over time, you know, pre heavy load shedding, we were just able to easily, you know, get on the mobile network and use it.
Yeah.
Now... 2 hours into load shedding, and definitely by the third hour into load shedding, it's...
You can forget.
It's completely gone.
Is it still the same for you on Vodacom?
Yeah, my phone just become... No, well, Vodacom's much better than Telkom, that's for sure. But on when my phone... When we're on hour three of load shedding, my phone's just an MP3 player at that point. It's just there's no
Dude,
connection at all.
Hour three, MTN no longer exists.
They filed for business closure.
Like, literally, there's nothing on your phone. Your phone doesn't even say MTN anymore. I think the whole tower is just like, bleh.
Completely done. So now we're going to be choosing which operators to use because of who's got the most time online.
Yeah.
So as an indirect action for the mobile companies upping their pricing so that they can afford to maintain their towers, they're going to maintain market share.
Yeah, please maintain the towers. I know everything's getting stolen the minute you replace it. There must be a way around it.
Yeah.
Get better security or something.
I mean, you heard of... I remember watching an interview, or it was like a documentary on the Vodacom Tower in Johannesburg. That massive...
Oh, that massive,
tower,
yes, yes.
That was just taken over by gangs and like, wasn't
Hillbrow.
Even a Vodacom
I
tower
anymore. I think it's
anymore.
The Hillbrow... Yeah,
and
Hillbrow
they,
Tower.
And they just threw trash because it was a big building with a big hole in the middle all the way down to the bottom. So it's like a sphere almost,
yes,
a cylinder,
yes.
All the way up into the air with a hollow. People were just throwing trash off of there, and because nobody was there doing maintenance, taking the trash out, it piled up like 12 stories or something like that from the ground up.
No way.
I know, that's what I heard the other day, and I was like, that is crazy. So this is some of the stuff that the mobile companies have to deal with. Vodacom had to deal with that for who knows how long. How do you get... Because it's a big building, it can fit 1,000 people in no problem. So to get 1,000 people out of a building with one entrance or two entrances, can't
but Kane,
be easy.
Have you noticed how even the FM towers are suffering?
Everything.
Have you been on the FM dial in your car or at home and after load shedding? It's just
bad.
Static all over. Like you'll have one or two local stations because they do their own signal distribution, but the other one's coming from the main tower, I think, in George. You
Nothing.
Can't listen to them.
It's bad, eh?
And there's another station, I can't mention the name, an Easter Cape radio station. They also go off air a lot.
Really?
Where it just goes buzzing. They go off air quite frequently because of this.
I feel like when something like that happens while you're using the radio in your car, you just never go back to that station again. I feel like it's very bad for
Yeah, at
attention.
The time when you want music, it's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Elon Musk... Master Plan 3, right? He released Master Plan 1, Master Plan 2. Now we're on Master Plan 3. His new Master Plan, which he quotes as a path to sustainable energy future. but he hasn't announced any new cars yet. So billionaire CEO Elon Musk announced the third part of his company's master plan, outlining plans for a sustainable Earth. The announcement was made during an Investor Day event in the Gigafactory in Austin, in Texas, on Tuesday. Elon Musk revealed the third part of Tesla's master plan, in which the company will lead the global effort to eliminate fossil fuels and convert the world to sustainable energy. The plan was outlined during an investor event Wednesday held at the company's Gigafactory in Austin, Texas, which we spoke about. That Gigafactory is the biggest building I've ever come across reading about. So the Master Plan 3 includes adding renewable power to the existing grid, producing more electric vehicles, installing heat pumps in homes and buildings, using high temperature heat delivery and hydrogen for industrial applications, and building sustainably fueled planes and boats. Tesla, plane and boats. It didn't stop at cars. Yeah. Musk's plan is to create a sustainable energy civilization. He also went on to say that Tesla projects it will take $10 trillion in investments to bring about the sustainable future, powered by renewable energy. Musk said it's not a big number relative to the global economy, and he is correct. So Tesla projects it will take $10 trillion to bring about the sustainable energy future. But what are some of the things that were spoken about at this particular conference? Here, we will quickly go through a recap. So Tesla says its next-gen drives won't use any rare earth minerals versus around 520 grams that used to be used by the Model Ys. So that's the first thing, one of the things that he mentioned. Apparently, Tesla VP of Vehicle Engineering, Lars Moravi, will deliver a bottle of your favorite alcoholic beverage if you manage as an employee to save a kilogram of weight from the company's vehicles. So it shows you how hungry they are to shed as much weight as possible.
Yeah.
Elon Musk made a tweet about Ukraine while off screen at the conference. So people were at the conference, he goes off the stage, and then they see he's tweeted.
And that's him, yeah.
And they were saying something about Ukraine, and he commented, agreed. And it's just funny, you know, he's sitting there in the back room on Twitter, just like at his own conference. Mind blowing. Tesla's David Lau also went on to say that internally, they have an app that will allow their personnel in engineering, manufacturing, delivery, and logistics to view, locate, and drive all Tesla-owned vehicles at their site. So with their apps, they can actually, if you're an employee there then and you have a Tesla, their app can allow them to locate your car and drive it, which is pretty cool technology.
That is very cool.
Not too sure how happy I would be about my Tesla that's no longer there and I work at Tesla.
Yeah.
But that's still very cool technology. Alizwami says that Tesla vehicles equipped with full self-driving travel on an average can achieve 3.2 million miles before a collision. So that's what their statistics are showing them, that with the self-driving technology, you would have to drive statistically 3.2 million miles before a collision. I bet you the people who've had a collision will strongly disagree with that statistic.
A few of those, yeah.
It's like I got 20,000 on my car and I hit something, you know?
It's incredible. You know, last night or the night before on TikTok, I saw the very first electric Rolls Royce.
Really?
Yeah, it still looks like Rolls Royce, but futuristic.
Wow. Yeah. There's actually, we're going to talk about a car that was released, and a new EV that was released just recently, and it has some crazy stats. But we'll talk about that now. So Elon Musk obviously spoke about robots again. He's kind of bullish on, remember that robot that he demonstrated that one at one of his events? So he said they have a whole lab full of arms and legs. He played a video of Tesla bots slowly building another Tesla bot. And Elon Musk also proposed that in the future, humanoid robots could or should outnumber human beings. Quoting, I think we might exceed a 1-to-1 ratio of humanoid robots to humans. That's
scary. I don't know what we're going to do.
7 billion people. You're telling me there's going to be 7 billion robots as well? That's a lot of robots.
No.
And Tesla's method for installing new supercharger sites, which is the place that you go to charge your electric vehicle, like a garage, a petrol garage, but for electric vehicles. Basically, it assembles an entire row of chargers on a concrete block and then just drags and drops them into the ground. They are apparently also improving its trip planner to provide information about supercharger occupancy while also taking into account vehicles that are currently routing to certain sites. So what they're basically basically saying is they can install a supercharger facility really quickly. And they're building technology that will allow you to see how many other cars are busy charging their car at the supercharger facility. And it will consider other cars, such as yourself, that is en route to charge at the super facility, the supercharging facility, to make sure that you can, you know, get your car charged.
You don't have to wait.
Yes. And because you're charging your car, if you have to wait 20 minutes to charge the car needs to charge for at least 15 minutes to 30 minutes. So you can imagine how you can lose an hour and a half if you have to wait in a queue for a supercharger.
With more and more EVs, imagine how long that line can get. It's not like you can plug in a double adapter and put them all in.
No. Another cool feature about Tesla cars is Elon says that their car computers are liquid cooled. Any kind of gamers would appreciate that.
Mm.
And Musk also said, I don't see AI helping make cars anytime soon. And this is where he's referring to specifically ChatGPT, saying everyone needs to chill out about ChatGPT. He basically said it's quite a dangerous technology and he fears he might have done something to accelerate it. So Elon Musk is very nervous about the whole ChatGPT, Midjourney, AI image generation, AI content generation, AI as a personal assistant. So yeah, he's kind of reiterating some of his fears that he spoke about well before we saw a lot of this AI technology. And finally, they also went on to say that the chip shortage, which we've spoken about a lot, was a nightmare, but it's mostly behind them now. So it looks like we're kind of coming out of the chip shortage. We're approaching the time because of the Biden administration and all the semiconductor manufacturing incentives, and some of those we might even speak about today. But on a final note about electric cars, let me tell you about this new one that was just showcased by Lucid Motors before we pop off to a music break. So Lucid Motors showed off their 830 kilowatt electric car with an over 800 kilometer range. One electric car traveling for 800 kilometers is a very far travel time. We looked at some of the most popular electrics in South Africa and they were coming in between 350 and 550 kilometers.
This is double.
This is 800 kilometers. So Lucid Motors has showcased the 2023 edition of its Air Grand Touring Performance Electric Vehicle, or EV, at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona. The car, listen to this, this is crazy. The car accelerates from 0 to 100 kilometers per hour in 2.7 seconds, which is hell of a fast, and can travel up to 861 kilometers on a single charge. They also went on to say that the rapid acceleration is possible as the EV produces up to 1,111 horsepower or 828 kilowatts thanks to its dual motor all-wheel drive system. Lucid Motors focuses on manufacturing luxury electric cars, which come at a hefty price. If you wanted to buy one of these, it's about $179,000 or 3.3 million rand. But that being said, if you wanted to charge this car, the fast charging system lets you add 321 kilometers to its range in approximately 12 minutes.
Yo.
That's crazy. That's some of that's how fast some electric cars go, period.
Yeah, yeah.
And it could 12 minutes and it's at 321 kilometers.
This is getting
range.
Dangerous.
Yeah, this is
getting really dangerous. You know what else is getting dangerous?
What?
There's this new thing called Radio GPT. I promise you, I'm not joking.
Okay.
It's going to take over presenters' jobs.
Really? Are you worried?
I'm not right. I will use it, but to clone me when I'm sick or something. The funny thing is, you can create radio personalities, give them personalities, and then they talk in between songs, host your whole station.
It's going to be funny if you ever hear, you know, Eon talking on radio and at the end of his sentence he says, okay, pause for 5 seconds. You know, that was a script he gave to the AI and he forgot to take it out.
But isn't it scary? Like, you'll be able to listen. I mean, you want to listen to real people telling real stories and now you're going to listen to a robot reading a script and it's going to sound so convincing, male or female, that you're going to think that that's an actual person sitting there, and then only to find out that you've been listening to a robot or fell in love with the voice of a robot.
It's very likely.
Hey,
yeah.
It sounds like a movie.
It does sound like a movie, but it's very close to reality. I mean, a more realistic observation of what you just mentioned now is, in fact, that you used a robot to write a script and then used another robot to speak the script in your voice. So it's not even your intellectual property. It's it's just a script with not even your voice. It's so disconnected from the person. But you could sit down and produce 600 hours worth of podcasting content in 2 hours, which is physically impossible.
Exactly. So or you can read audiobooks like that or something, you know, which is nice. Because then you don't have to read the whole book. But, I mean, look at the TikTok lady. What's her name? Kat. The one you always hear talking on the videos.
Yes.
Text-to-speech voice, the female one. Then like the male one, it's very spooky, that one. The female one, I mean, she sounds quite realistic, sometimes a bit robotic, hey? But just, I think it's kind of that same technology, because she's reading a script, but it almost sounds like she's, you know, talking to you.
They're getting, in fact, there are actually technologies that far exceed the capabilities of TikTok's speech program. There's some uncannily realistic ones. I mean, there's even some technologies out there where you can submit a minute and a half worth of audio content of yourself and it can perfectly reproduce your voice.
I want to do that for fun.
That's what David Guetta did for Eminem's song.
Oh yes, that's
right. It was remarkably
close. And it sounded, and even Eminem said, wow.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay, we'll get back with some more Tech Plus after this. Here's Pink with Irrelevant. And then I quickly want to mention the story about the human Tesla.
Oh.
I think it might rain today. Ash on the ground. Took all the heat we could take and then burn it down. You can call me irrelevant, insignificant. You can try to make me small. I'll be your heretic, you hypocrite. I won't think of you at all. Sticks and stones and all that. Does Jesus love the ignorant? I like to think he gladly take us all. The kids are not all right. None of us are right. I'm tired, but I won't sleep tonight. 'Cause I still feel alive.
It's Pink with Irrelevant here on Tech Plus. If you just joined us, a very big hello to you and welcome. We're with you for another 20 minutes or so discussing this week's biggest tech stories. Now, just before we went to listen to Pink with Irrelevant, I mentioned to Kane that there's this guy who, they call him the human Tesla, because he has to literally charge his heart every single day to keep him going, to keep him alive. I think it's incredible that technology, you know, reached a stage where a guy can be kept alive with electric heart components. I mean, yo. So obviously his real heart is not working, the pumping function. He had heart failure. I think, I don't know if it's genetic because he's very young. I think he's in his 20s or early 30s. On TikTok, his username is Cruise Ship 72. Cruise spelled C-R-U-Z Ship 72. So in every single video, he's showing you how he's using it. But he's carrying a bag with him every single day. That bag has some components in, and it's connected via his stomach area to his heart, where there's a little motor connected to the bottom of his heart, which spins a little motor, and that pumps blood through his body. But every single night when he goes to sleep, like you would put your phone on charge, he would have to put himself on charge, put his electrical heart on charge.
That's actually crazy, eh? How far technology has advanced so that you don't actually need a heart to stay alive to the point where you can actually get a heart transplant.
Yeah, he's obviously on the list waiting for a heart transplant, but I mean, that can take years. But it's just incredible to see how he's kept alive by this device. And also, imagine living in South Africa with load shedding, and you're worried that where's your next charge coming from?
Yeah, no, I would be so nervous. But I did read somewhere that that particular device that he has, I think you get special batteries for it, and those batteries can last like 6 months.
Yeah,
on a single charge.
Okay, that helps.
But you would, you know, you don't want to live in a place with load shedding when it's literally going to shed your life. You know,
yeah.
If you're not careful, but
shed your life. Yeah,
incredible technology. I mean, he can see stats about how fast the pump is going,
that's
how much power it's drawing,
it's
how
little
charge there is.
Meter, yeah, showing the RPMs, yeah.
And I can imagine in 10 years, because it's quite a lot of tech that he's carrying, it's going to shrink down, it's going to be small, it's going to be pocket size.
He's got a shower with it, he's got to put in a little waterproof bag as well. But I love how he's making fun of it, you know, like all the videos, he's making fun of it, quickly unplugging it, which he's not allowed to do that, but he's doing it for TikTok. And also how he's making fun of like his girlfriend or his wife, saying, we're going out, and then he's like, just 20 more minutes, honey, I'm charging. I'm busy charging.
Wow. That's incredible. In talking about things that are incredible, and I think it even has to do with our mobile network talk as well, is Tesla is planning to offer unlimited overnight car charging for 546 Rand per month in Texas. And in somewhere like Texas, they have a completely opposite scenario to us. At night, the wind blows more, and they have a lot of wind generation facilities, power generation through wind. And actually, in most cases, they have more supply than there is demand. So they're basically building a plan that will incentivize people to charge their car basically infinitely every night for 550 Rand, which is nothing in America. You know, it's a couple dollars. And you can, you know, charge your car as much as you want, regardless of the power. And we saw a similar shift in energy costing when data costing when we saw phones used to pay for your minutes. In South Africa, we still pay for minutes and pay for megs, but in America it's unlimited. Most of the time you're buying an unlimited plan because it doesn't cost as much to maintain the same infrastructure, because the infrastructure has become so much more advanced. So it's the same thing here, where instead of having to charge people for power, they can actually come up with things that allow you to have unlimited power at night to charge your electric vehicle, which is basically saying unlimited petrol to fuel your car if you refuel your car after 12 a.m. And that's unheard of. Cool. I've never come across something like that before. It's almost as fascinating as that car we spoke about, I think, a month or two ago that had solar panels on it.
Yeah.
And if you lived in Portugal, you charge it once in 8 months during summer.
That's brilliant.
Imagine refueling your car once in 8 months.
Yeah. Imagine how much money you're saving.
Unbelievable. And USPS, United States Postal Service, has just announced that they are ordering 9,200 Ford E-Transit EVs and 14,000 EV chargers. And the reason this is interesting, because it shows you how bullish America is on the EV market. and basically pushing green energy solutions. Because even in the same time, President Joe Biden just announced a $39 billion semiconductor project, which is now open for business, which is basically incentivizing people to build factories in the United States to get access to $39 billion worth of funding, which can be, you know, tax breaks, it can be direct incentives, it's all sorts of stuff. But it's a lot of money and a lot of time and a lot of infrastructure that are going into the EV market in America. I think in the next few years, it's very likely that there will be a vast change in the vehicle distribution there and the power generation mechanisms as well. Very interesting to watch that unfold.
Okay, now that you're talking about Joe Biden and America, I believe there's a chance that TikTok could be completely banned from the United States.
There is.
And it's getting more and more serious now because they worry that China is spying on them through TikTok, basically.
Yes. They're very worried about that.
So that could be a reality soon, you reckon?
Yeah, well, their committee approved the TikTok bill on a party line 24-16 vote. So, you know, there's definitely consensus that something is wrong to some degree. But yeah, they could very much ban TikTok completely from the US, which, remember, they already tried to ban it unless USA could have a 50% stake in it or something like that in the USA-based company. And now to go and say, well, we don't want it here at all is, I don't know what to be more concerned about.
It's not looking good for American TikTok users. Eh?
No, and there's a lot of people that are pretty big influencers on TikTok and will have quite a significant impact to their content creation.
How would they be able to carry on? Could they still carry on via VPN? Would that be illegal?
They could, but they'd probably just use a different platform. Take their audience to another platform. I can envision something like that happening.
Okay, because TikTok's already introducing an automatic daily screen time limit of 1 hour for accounts belonging to under 18. So that means you can only go on for an hour a day.
Wow.
And you know, it kind of makes sense because you get all these young children, you know, I suppose they're still in school, on TikTok almost 24/7, live streaming, ranking, all that kind of stuff, when they're supposed to do life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, I actually, maybe more than an hour. I mean, an hour is quite limiting. 60 minutes a day, that's a bit short. But yeah, I reckon it's probably not a bad idea.
If there's anything that's for certain, kids will find a way around that.
Oh, they will. Ach yeah, of course.
Definitely.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's more likely to entrap an adult who set up their account wrong than to keep a child at bay from.
They'll find something.
They will figure it out.
One of the people they follow at least will find something and then inform the rest.
You'll blink twice and they have a VPN account and they're fully cognitive of how to use it, but he's seven. That's the reality of it. ChatGPT, let's talk about that for half a second. Because remember we spoke about it a few weeks ago. We're like, it takes a lot of hardware to actually make ChatGPT possible.
A lot
more than people would expect. You kind of think you're just speaking to a website, but you're actually speaking to a mass of GPUs that are just processing so much data at such a fast rate to get you your information back. Just you.
Wow.
One process that they've kind of estimated how much it would cost for ChatGPT to properly go commercial. And basically, OpenAI, who's the people who own ChatGPT, will need 30,000 top-end NVIDIA GPUs to power a commercial version of its ChatGPT language. Now, you know, you say, okay, well, you know, 30,000 sounds expensive, but what they actually need is 30,000 A100 data center GPUs, which NVIDIA makes, and they're anywhere from $10,000 to $15,000 a GPU. So it's a couple billion dollars worth of equipment that's needed just to facilitate what we take for granted for free use. And I always think that's crazy, you know. Technology is getting so good that things are being done so quickly and in front of your eyes that you don't actually see what's behind the scenes, which is you to have access to even one of those $15,000 GPUs, you probably won't see it every day. You probably can't afford it either. You know, spend $200,000 on a graphics card. You must seriously have some money. And it's crazy that there are such a mass of these and such a quantity of this processing power that you just can tap into like that. You just tap into it, make an image, write code, get an English essay done for your school, you know, anything.
Yeah.
And it's just doing it.
Yeah, like I said last week, it's getting harder and harder to distinguish between, is it actually a human being or is it actually a robot? Because the robots are getting so good now, with the help of human beings.
It'll reach a point where it's indistinguishable, and then it will reach a point where it's better than us.
Yeah,
it's
but I feel sorry for the teachers, you know, trying to work out, did James really write this essay? Or was it robot James?
So do you want to hear something very, very interesting about how AI works? I don't think a lot of people know how AI works.
Of course.
AI image generation, for example.
Yeah.
So what is actually happening when an image is created with AI is there's a very, very low resolution blurry image that the AI then looks at and makes look pretty, basically, in very simple terms. It makes it look better. It fills in the missing gaps to produce your high quality image. But how did they train it? So what did they do? They took really nice, great images and they downscaled it. They made it smaller, they made it blurry, and they made it like very grainy. It's like noise when there's lots of grain on the photo. It's like hard to distinguish what is on the image after it's been downscaled and cut and done all of that. They then train the AI on that blurred image and say, this is what this blurred image looks like, and this is what the blurred image at high resolution looks like. And what they've actually done is they made an image look bad to train an AI to make an image look good. So you can give it a bad image and it can make it look good. That's how AI works. And I think that's crazy.
Wow, I never knew about the blurry small image that it looks at.
Yes.
And fills in the blanks.
It's
I
crazy.
I never knew that. Wow.
That's why in some AI image generation process, and I actually just had a look at one just the other day, you can go and draw a stick man and make it blurry and it'll come out amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's it's just crazy. It's another level. Hey?
It is next level.
Because we made a program that made images look bad, and then we employed AI to make the program that makes bad images look good. And by that default, we can make any bad image look good.
Yes, exactly.
That blows my mind a few times over thinking about, you know.
Yeah, but listen, you don't even know what somebody looks like nowadays because of all the filters also on TikTok. There's this new photo on TikTok called Bold Glamour. You must try it out, Kane. You're not going to recognize yourself. it makes you look like 200% perfect, like Hollywood movie star.
Well, we just spoke about NVIDIA, right? Now, NVIDIA released a piece of software that if you're in a Zoom meeting or you're recording yourself playing a game, it will look at your face and in real time make your eyes look like they're looking at the camera. So
oh,
you can be
that.
Looking around and your eyes are locked on the view at all times. You can be like looking in the
that's
top
creepy.
Left-hand corner and the eyes are just peeking back, but you're looking in the top left-hand corner.
The funny thing is if that thing malfunctions, you have eyes on your forehead or something.
Exactly. So here's something interesting that NVIDIA is doing. So NVIDIA's latest GPU drivers can upscale old blurry YouTube videos. So the new RTX Super Resolution feature for the new NVIDIA GPUs can take a blurry image or a blurry video, and a low quality video on YouTube, and upscale it into a high quality video. So for its gaming market, it will allow you to take old game footage that you captured and turn it into super high resolution gaming content that wasn't even available back then in that day, which is a pretty cool feature. But I think more importantly, where we're going to see the application of this kind of technology on a commercial level is when they bring old films back to life. Films that were filmed 2000 to 2010. They just run it through AI, and all of a sudden you've got this avatar level production that just is ready to go.
Wow, that reminds me of what they've done with the Swedish group ABBA, where they have these holograms on stage. And they look exactly like they did in the 70s and 80s. They're not their old versions now, the younger versions.
That's
creepy. And they're dancing there and performing to audiences every single night who pay a lot of money for it. Meanwhile, the actual ABBA people are sitting at home, just chilling. Okay, they're old now, or older.
That's
but
crazy.
They're just chilling, you know, and also making money off it.
Imagine you could go for a second, like imagine you were one of the ABBA team members, right? And you go on stage and you see this hologram of your younger self, and you see your younger
sad.
Self.
It's pretty freaky.
Pretty freaky experience. Even though it's not real, it's still you. It's not a mirror-like experience. A mirror is showing you now. Imagine looking at you younger as you older.
Yeah, right.
Mind blowing. So there's also some other interesting news as well. So there is a company called Josh.ai. It's like a competitor to Alexa and Siri and that sort of stuff, right? So, you know, you can ask Alexa to turn on the lights, or you can have Siri tell you the temperature in your bedroom, and sometimes they'll get it right and sometimes they'll tell you some locations temperature that's not the right one. You know, it's not very intelligent. It's just something doing exactly stupid. What you've told it to do after it's turned what you said vocally into text. But if your voice assistant was not only always accurate but could also respond to comments in a intelligent way, that would be quite interesting. So one of the guys at Josh AI, Alex Capocagliatro, the founder of Josh.ai Home Automation Systems, has started testing the integration of OpenAI's ChatGPT into something that's smart. And to give you an example of what would a smart Alexa be, if you said, "Hey Alexa, I'm filming a video, it's kind of dark in here," Alexa will automatically understand that it is dark, therefore we need to make it lighter. How do we make it lighter? Well, we can turn the lights up, so let's turn the lights up. And in that way, it can give you intelligent actions for more common dialogue. And that's opening up a whole nother world to home automation, where you can say, you know, "I've had a really long day, I'm stressed out. Give me some ideas on what I can do," and it will dim the lights and start the microwave and get a show on Netflix for you. And it's just a whole world we're not even prepared for, to be honest with you, which is crazy.
But, you know, it's interesting to see how people are interacting with these robots. I think just the other day in the news, there was this guy who got married to one of his robots, his robot girlfriend. And he says he likes it because she doesn't talk back and give him crap about stuff.
Yes.
And he's completely happy. He actually married her.
Wow.
No, for real.
Speaking of things that are just crazy, you know about Pokemon Go, right?
Yes.
The app that rewards you for going out and walking and exploring.
Seeing people walking randomly and turning around in circles, you think they're crazy, but then you see they've got their phone.
They're out for a beach stroll and they're just staring at their phone down a road.
Yeah.
Sorry, they're not checking text messages, they're playing a virtual game.
Yes.
And there's more games like this that you can go out and explore, and for exploring and walking around, you're rewarded. But they've taken it to the next step. You won't believe this. Pokemon Sleep.
What?
Yeah. So now you can, when you go to sleep at night, you can put your phone next to your bed and it will record you sleeping. And if you sleep deeply and you sleep long, when you wake up in the morning, you will be rewarded in the game for your deep long sleep.
Oh no.
And that'll give you benefits for when you go out and explore that day. And they said they want to make it exciting for people to go and wake up in the morning. And this is the text from the ad. "Do you find yourself struggling to get energized in the morning? Has the same old bedtime routine grown tiresome? Now you can turn your sleep into entertainment with Pokemon Sleep. Playing this game is simple. Just place your smartphone by your pillow and then go to sleep."
No.
Just like that, waking up in the morning becomes so much something to look forward to. I swear, this is the thing.
Wow, finally my life has meaning.
I've found it, everything I've been waiting for. It's a game I can play while sleeping. My life is complete.
Are you actually serious?
It's legit. It releases next week.
Oh my god.
And it's by Niantic, the guys that made Pokemon. It's a Pokemon product. Pokemon Sleep. It's the name it is.
Yo. Okay, I will believe it, because also I've seen people once again on TikTok sleeping and then you can pay money to wake them up. You've seen those people on TikTok on those lives.
I don't like those.
They sleep there. They pretend to sleep, I think. And then they've got these things in the room and they light up and make noises whenever you pay them. How's it linked to the thing even? How does it know somebody just paid?
I don't know. I don't know what's more crazy, the way that they're making money or how many people are watching them, or probably astounded at just this guy who's pretending to sleep, that when he gets a gift, which is money that is sent over TikTok, he will stand up and do a dance, or music will play, or a light will come on, or his bed will shake. I saw a guy that had such a kit. He must have gone out to Home Depot and got every single hydraulic system and lights and speakers. And he just fully kitted his room out so that in the event that different types of gifts are received, different things happen. So the bed has hydraulics and it shakes around.
But how's it connected to TikTok?
How does it know? It with smart applications, just like you can control the lights with Siri, and you can program it so that you have smart.
What if something
devices.
Goes wrong and he ejects through the roof or goes out the window because of the hydraulics?
They'll
or
probably
something.
Gift him more. I don't know.
Like, so imagine, like, hey Josh, lovely beach house you got here. What do you do for a living? Nah, I just sleep on TikTok.
I sleep on TikTok. Oh, I don't imagine. Sleep on. I yeah. don't sleep on TikTok.
Imagine.
I can't imagine. And on that note. It's time to end.
It's an unreal note. It feels like it's a movie.
It does.
Can somebody push stop?
Where's the remote?
You're every week, actually, when we talk about these AI things, it's almost like it's intensifying. I don't know if you noticed
it. It is.
It's almost in every single industry. It's just suddenly it's just growing.
It is.
In the radio industry, in the TV industry, everywhere.
That's why we're here every week, to help you keep up to date.
Exactly. Yeah, it's true. Geez, Kane, on that very strange note, a very goodbye to you, and thank you for joining us in studio, and happy March.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, and we'll see you next week, and thanks to all of our listeners for listening in.
Yes, and have a good weekend.
You too.
Thanks, man.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. Cheers.